Welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain. And as always, I'll be joined today by Gigi Luigi, who wanted us to share a very, very time-filled and heartfelt story about his time in the Marines. This story is very, very touching. It's about seven lost souls, and pretty much what happened was somebody made a mistake, and they lost their lives because of that mistake. But in this heartfelt segment of the Higher Point and the Let Me Take You Higher podcast, we honor those seven fallen Marines who tragically lost their lives in the 2013 Hawthorne blast. Through a detailed recounting of events, expert commentary from Gigi, who was actually there and knew one of the actual officers who was there at the time and who had also lost his life, we go and we pay tribute to them, and then we also try to figure out what actually happened. Because what you hear in the news is completely different from what people are saying who were there and who were on the ground. But this is an emotional tribute. We explore the causes and consequences of this devastating incident. Join us as we reflect on their sacrifice, the lessons we've learned, and the enduring legacy of these brave individuals. The episode here is called The Hawthorne Seven, and it's about our fallen soldiers who sometimes just, you know, take a command and listen to their higher-ups without actually understanding what's going on. So, to the fallen seven, we would like to take you all higher.
In the quiet of the desert, beneath the moonlit haze, seven hearts were beating through their final days. They wore the weight of freedom. They stood for all that's right. But the stars fell down in Hawthorne on a cold and solemn night. Seven stars in the sky, shining brave, shining true. For the red, the white, the blue, they gave all they knew. In the silence they echo, in the flag's solemn cry, seven stars in the sky, may their light never die. Their boots were worn with honor, their shoulders bore the load, carrying the dreams of a nation down freedom's heavy road. They trained for war, they stood as one, a brotherhood so tight. Till the desert thunder silenced them that night. Seven stars in the sky, shining brave, shining true. For the red, the white, the blue, they gave all they knew. In the silence they echo, in the flag's solemn cry. Seven stars in the sky, may their light never die. The names etched in memory, their courage carved in stone. A nation leaps together, though their journey was their own. From the mountains to the valleys, their sacrifice will sing. For every star that falls, a new bell will ring. Seven stars in the sky, shining brave, shining true. For the red, the white, the blue, they gave all they knew. In the silence they echo, in the flag's solemn cry. Seven stars in the sky, may their light never die. So raise the flag at half-mast, let the bugle play. For the seven who have fallen, on this fateful day. They live on in the heavens, where heroes never lie. Seven stars in the sky, forever they'll fly. And names etched in memory, their courage carved in stone. A nation weaves together, though their journey was their own. From the mountains to the valleys, their sacrifice will sing. For every star that falls, a new bell will ring.
Welcome back to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. As always, I'm Mr. Villain, and today we have a very tender and heroic, some would even say a very somber subject about our United States military and some of the things that go on when us, the American citizens, who are being protected, aren't aware of until very, very, very long after the fact. Now, of course, everyone knows that Gigi Luigi used to be a Marine. He's actually an ex-Marine. Honorable discharge, nothing bad. But he wanted to bring to light some things that he's seen in the military. And that brings us to our segment today. And it's a tough one, guys. I mean, I'm not going to let you. It's not something that we talk about often. We like to laugh, giggle, joke around, have fun. But there are some times when there is a course of seriousness that we have to subscribe to. And today's podcast segment is titled Double Fire, the Hawthorne Blast tragedy, where we lost seven noble, young, honorable veterans in a senseless tragedy. And Gigi has agreed to let us know a little bit about what happened. So I'm going to go ahead and start us off with me introducing you to Gigi and Gigi telling the story as he knows, just the bits and pieces. And then I'll go back and forth with him and try to get a little bit more of a sensibility of what actually happened. So, Gigi, if you will, are you up to it?
Oh, definitely. So, give a little bit of backstory on kind of like what was going on. So, beginning of, I think it was either beginning of or middle of February of 2013, my unit 19, we 1st Battalion 9th Marines, we were going out to Bridgeport, California to do cold weather mountain survival training. The objective was to go out there, do some training ops, hike through the mountains, learn how to like operate in the snow, survive in the snow, and all that good stuff. I left, I believe it was 2 weeks before my unit did, to do, what was that course called? Mountain Communications Command Control course. A lot of C's. Okay. So I went out there like 2 weeks before. So I got a little bit of a taste of it. And then when my unit got there, oh boy, that training was insane. So,
Yeah,
it was really tough. It was soul crushing. I'll be honest with you. About midway through the first, I guess you'd call it phase, I ran into the instructors from the course that I was at 2 weeks before my unit got there. And I was talking to them. I remember them telling me like, man, this is fucked. Like of all like the injuries and things that we were receiving from personnel, like they were just like, man, this is terrible. I might be wrong remembering this, but I swear I remember that the guy told us that we broke 5 records. Okay. and it was the worst performance he's ever seen. So the records we broke were, the first one was the most damage to the environment, most casualties, heaviest packs. What was the other ones? We spent the most at their base store, and I can't remember the last one. But yeah, it was very insane. It was very insane. So so we spent about 3 weeks up in the mountains, and about after 3 weeks, we came down for about a day or two, and then we bust out to Hawthorne Training Camp, which is actually down the mountains and more in the desert. And we went from like negative 10, 15 degrees to like 80, 90 degree weather, like overnight.
Oh, yeah.
So we were, so getting out there, I was in mortars. I was in 81 millimeter mortars, not the 60 mortars. But the night of the explosion, because of the insane weather change, I got so sick. I was hallucinating. I woke up in the middle of the night vomiting. And so, no, not, it was the night before, because the morning of the incident, I got bussed out of there to go back to camp because I was like literally so sick. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
But what had happened was that night I was woken up to what was what's called River City, which means that, you know, they had to confiscate all cell phones and everything because personnel had died and we are not allowed to talk about it, or, you know, because they want to be able to contact the family before like anyone else gets contacted, type of thing.
Okay, so what, let me stop you there because I want to kind of let the audience know what happened, really. So think of it like this, guys. So think of a mortar tube as the chef's knife in the military, okay? It's very precision. A simple tool that can be deadly if misused. The March 18th, 2013 situation that Gigi is talking about, because he was there in Hawthorne Army Depot explosion, serves as a case study in how a single lapse in protocol can spiral into catastrophic consequences. So what Gigi is telling you is that if he would have remained, if I'm familiarized with this, Gigi, if you would have stayed out there, you would have been a part of the seven. Probably.
No. Okay. No, we were all training in the same area. That was 60 millimeter mortars, Alpha Platoon, our Alpha Company. I was in Weapons Company, 81 millimeters mortar platoon.
Okay, so you weren't a part of the,
No. Do you know they were relatively close by, though? But I don't know. We weren't like on top of each other. I just know, like, the night that everything would have happened, I was pulled off the mountain. I was deadly sick.
Okay. So,
and then, so what happened was, so because of the rapid temperature change, as I was saying, going from 3 weeks of like negative weather to close to the 100 degree weather, there was micro fractures in the tubes. So when they dropped the round, the tube was no longer structurally sound to maintain the pressure. So it actually just exploded. It turned it basically into a bomb.
Wow. So can I ask a question on this? You have the tubes, the mortar tubes, and they're tested, I'm guessing, right? Like under extreme duress, right? So no one knew that going from one climate change to another climate change in a relatively short amount of time would send fissures or small hairline fractures in the tube?
So, yes.
Okay.
It was actually known.
Okay.
But I don't know who was in charge of the logistics here, but somebody didn't allow enough time for, I guess, the metal to properly expand, because it did so rapidly that that's what caused the compromise to the structure.
Okay. Now you're saying this was in California, right?
Yeah, it was like on the very border of like California and Nevada, because like we flew into Reno. Is that Nevada?
Yeah, that's Nevada. That's the capital of Nevada.
Yeah, so we flew into Reno, and then we went like just over the border to Bridgeport, and then just over the border on Nevada again, there's Hawthorne.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Right. So on that fateful night, Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, based in which camp was it?
This was this incident was Hawthorne, but we were based out of North Carolina.
Based in Camp Lejeune, right? North Carolina was conducting live fire exercises using 60 millimeter mortars. The command investigation revealed that two mortar rounds were accidentally loaded into the same tube. That's what they said. The detonation killed 7 Marines and injured 8 more. This wasn't just a tragic accident, guys. It was a systemic failure in training, safety protocols, and equipment handling. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. The failure in proper protocol and logistics and planning, they were trying to get too much done too quick. They're trying to squeeze too much training into the 1 month that we were allotted, is what happened.
Mm-hmm. So did that. So now that's what the story says when we open up to the news media. Is that true, though? From what you understand, did two mortars get put into two mortar bombs, or whatever you want to call it, get put into one tube?
It's impossible.
Okay.
So the reason why I say that,
you're calling it false flag.
Yeah, so I was the ammo guy in, well, I guess that position called A gunner. So I was the A gunner, where pretty much I prepped the round and dropped it into the tube. The gunner adjusts everything, gets it on target, and then when they say fire, I'm the one who drops it. Boom, goes out. The way you do that, as soon as you lose grip of that mortar round, you have to slap your ass, because it comes out of that tube so fast. If you don't immediately drop your hand, you'll lose fingers. You'll lose some fingers.
Oh yeah, I've seen it on, seen this. Yeah.
Yeah. It is insane. It's as soon as you let go and it goes down that tube, it's coming right back out. You don't even have time to, and the rounds are heavy, so you can't hold to it at the same time.
That's
by the time, if you're holding two, you would need to both hands, and anybody would be like, what are you doing?
You're Ronnie Coleman if you're holding two, or Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 70s, if you're holding two. I'd even go for Lou Ferrigno. You've got to have some serious arm strength.
Not even just arm strength.
Mortar rounds in one time. And how could they strength. Fit? Huh?
It's not arm strength. That's the thing. Like, you would have to hold them stacked on top of each other. So it would just be impossible for your hands to hold
to do
them.
That. And why would you do it? You already know the consequences.
Exactly. Like, two rounds are going to go out. Like, one's going to go into the other, and
they're going to pretty much implode on themselves. There's not going to be any way to move them out.
There's no way that accidentally happened. No way.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's keep that thought process. So while accidents are rare, this incident stands out for its devastating toll and the questions it raises about accountability and training rigor. But you're saying this is not a training situation. Something else happened.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay.
So what happened?
Again, I just don't think the mortars could effectively hold the pressure of, like, so the way that mortars work is you have a substance called Comp B. It kind of feels like a styrofoam disc that goes in the fin. And based on how far you're sending the round and all that, you have to go off of the charges. So, say we get a mission.
So these rounds are charged, ready to rock and roll. You put one in, the mortar flies that thing out. You can't put two in one barrel because it's just not going to work. It's just going to implode. No. Everyone knows this, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. So if I drop a round and it doesn't go off, so I drop it, I slap my ass, nothing happens. As an A gunner, we yell misfire, misfire, misfire. Like the whole gun line's misfire, 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 because the round's stuck in the chamber. There's a whole procedure of getting it out. Now, I can't see an entire gun line. I just can't see it. An entire gun line dropping a mortar, it getting stuck in the tube, and then them just grabbing another round, prepping it, and then dropping it. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so hold that thought. So we have notable figures in this scenario. The investigation brought scrutiny to the commanding officers and the chain of command, senior Marine Corps officials, including those responsible for live fire protocols. They faced harsh criticism for oversight lapses. Additionally, this tragedy put a spotlight on the Marines involved in the exercise, particularly those tasked with handling the mortars. These weren't rookies. These guys are elevated command. I mean, they're at the top of the echelon. They were seasoned soldiers trusted with dangerous equipment. Now, do you know any of the people who would be your officers in this, in this particular situation?
Are you asking, do I know the people who
were signed off on it?
No, I don't know specifically. No, I knew the people. I don't remember their names. It was a lieutenant colonel and sergeant major. And I'm sure that they were plotting with other people that I'd never met or heard of, But yeah, no, it's
what
tragedy.
I'm hearing from this is And the thing is, I'm pretty sure the audience is caught up on it, is that you believe that something else went or something else happened and it wasn't legit. It wasn't really a training error. What do you think happened?
No, I think it is a training error. I think the mortar tubes were compromised because they were trying to do too much with, you know, too fast. So the tubes became basically unserviceable. And they dropped rounds in them and they exploded. I don't think that two mortar rounds were loaded in the same thing. That's what they said happened, but I don't, I don't think that's what happened. And I just, it's literally like impossible. Like anybody who's operating a mortar will tell you that double loading a round like that is impossible. When they first told me that that's what they were saying happened, I was like, how's that even, I literally couldn't even fathom. I was like, how's that even possible? Like, I couldn't even comprehend. And then the chain of command, because they went that route, it was more as if they were trying to blame the Marines versus taking the blame of their mistake.
Right.
So they're now, shifting the blame.
Yeah, well, that's what's always going to happen when you don't want to be in trouble. Did you know any of the seven fallen from Hawthorne?
Corporal Roperta. He was the only one that I knew. He was a part of weapons company when I was like first really getting there. So I kind of like knew him a little bit. I'm not going to say I was like best friends with this guy. Like he was a corporal. I was brand new. He was more of like a mentor, but no, he was just a cool guy, good guy to have around.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't like close, but yeah, definitely knew him. It's definitely sad to, you know,
happened. My condolences to you and his family, but let's break this down. You have to have live fire exercises. I mean, they're critical for combat readiness. Simulations, while safer, can never fully replicate the chaos of battle, right? So there's nothing that's going to really stop that. But the cons of this, the risks to personnel are significant. Human error, as seen in Hawthorne, can lead to catastrophic outcomes. And as we go in deeper to this, what if live fire training isn't the issue, but how it's conducted? Could advanced technology like AI or augmented reality replace live fire drills altogether, eliminating human error while maintaining combat realism? Or does removing the human element itself create a dangerous over-reliance on tech? What's your feeling on that? Being a person who's been on the front lines, do you think that might help?
I mean, like, upgrading technology is never a bad thing, you know? Over-reliance on technology is a bad thing. So I like how the Marine Corps does train, because they train traditionally. Like, in boot camp and in SOI and everything, like, School of Infantry, rather. We're doing, like, light land nav with like some of the like the broken MVGs that like were like, all right, you know, this unit got new ones, so we're just gonna recycle these into the like the young training guys, you know, type of shit. Like they were just they weren't the best, but I mean they were what they were, and we had to like use night land nav with a compass in like this.
Now you say land nav, that's a land navigation compass. It's okay.
Yeah, like where you had to like in the middle of the night, like throw a tarp over you, plot points, and then navigate like something like it could be up to like a click away to try to find like a pinpoint location. They teach you that because like GPSs and everything can go down, like technology can go down. Well, it's nice to have. They teach you what to do without it. So
now, I was never in the military, but I was a Boy Scout and I was in the ROTC, all four commands, just like lieutenant here. But I just want to throw that out there. So I get little bits and pieces of what you're talking about. But if we go deeper into this, human error versus systemic issues, the command investigation revealed systemic problems beyond individual mistakes, a lack of adequate supervision and unclear communications and expectations about safety protocols were key contributors. So the statistical context in this is between 2000 and 2020, over 400 military training-related deaths occurred in the U.S. So this isn't something that's not new. This is something that, you know, we've done before. We know where this goes. I mean, I don't understand if we've done this, that 400 people died in training in 20 years or so. Why?
It's just bad equipment, and a lot of them were, like, the Marines going down in, like, Ospreys and stuff. Like,
yeah. And that was remember that whole Ospreys that lasted for 5 years in California? where every time like two people would go up, one wouldn't come back. I mean, it's crazy. Like, if the Ospreys are killing that many of our military, why are we using them if they're that hard to control?
Yeah, or just that they're that beat up and we're not servicing them and repairing them properly, you know what I mean? Or giving, because another thing is, like, I was talking to a air winger when I was in, and he was telling me for every hour one of the helicopters, I can't remember what model it was, every hour that it flew, it required 50 hours of maintenance.
Why would we even get in that? That's so astronomically in a, there's just so much going on with that. I mean, that for one costs so much money to keep in the air for an hour or whatever the situation is.
50 hours of maintenance per hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, would you drive a car that required that much attention?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me?
Come on, man. And we pay heavily for that through our taxes. We get taxed like 5 times or $1.
It's amazing. It's amazing how much money goes into the military, and it's like, where does it go? It's almost like there's some laundering going on.
Bro, let me just tell you this.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No. You're on the right track.
Mr. Uncle Sam.
They did an audit right after when Bush was in office, and Rumsfeld did an audit on the Pentagon. They found that they were missing $2 trillion. And then all of a sudden, 9/11 happened. And then we never talked about it again. But when you really dig into what they were talking about back then, they had hammers. They were selling for $500. Like when they
did their inventory,
they have a $500 hammer, a screwdriver that was $750. Just really crazy shit. And when Rumsfeld was running the Defense Department as the Secretary of Defense, they did an audit in the Pentagon and they could not find $2 trillion. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
$2 trillion, not billion. I'm trillion. I don't know where it is. So
and I say if I would have lost my $80 flashlight in the Marine Corps and couldn't turn it in at the end, I would have been put on blast.
Yeah, court-martialed. But these people lost $2 trillion. Like that's more GDP than Russia's GDP is like what, 10 trillion? That's like 2/10 of Russia's GDP, and we can't find it anywhere. Fucking Luxembourg, I think their GDP is like $500 billion, like $500 billion. We can't even find two Luxembourg. I mean, we don't know where the hell happened to them. But it's just fucking crazy to me. So the Marine Corps implemented changes post Hawthorne, including stricter training protocols and mandatory safety drills. But however, critics argue that more robust oversight and modernized equipment could have prevented the tragedy in the first place. Well, yeah. Where's all this money going, man? You're thinking we're getting the best and the finest, and we don't even know what we're buying. What do you think, Gigi? Because
Well, no, that's just it. Like, throw the old shit away. Like,
Afghanistan, just so everybody knows. We didn't bring none of the shit back.
I wasn't with the 60mm mortars. I don't know what their equipment looked like.
Okay.
I didn't know that there was some trash equipment in the Marine Corps, though. I'll be completely just honest with you. Just talking about the airlines and the Ospreys and the helicopters and things like that. It's just like, oh my gosh. But
I mean, we love the stealth bomber, but it's coming up. I'm almost fucking 40 years old.
Someone told me, and I don't mean any disrespect from the Marine Corps, but someone told me that, and this makes sense, the Marine Corps is a really old machine that hasn't been updated in a long time.
No. God, and it's horrible. Our GDP is, I think, $26 trillion a year. That's what we bring in. Of course, we're off balance by about $10 trillion, which is our deficit. The majority of the money we bring in goes to the military. All of it, like, fuck starving babies, fuck the homeless. We're giving 80% of this check to the military, right? Which makes us the largest military in the history of mankind. And the next person that's even anywhere near us is 9 fucking rows down. And I think it's China. China's like the next biggest military, aside from us. If you look at the full military of China. After that, it's North Korea. And after that, it's fucking Russia. It's ridiculous. And I may be wrong on that because things change, but
yeah, all the
where
time.
Does the money go? And I know we can't say, so how many bombers did you buy? What are you working on underneath the waters in the submarine? We can't ask those kinds of questions because, of course, it's military prudence. They're not going to tell you. But how do we audit this shit? I don't know, man.
That's sorry.
I get on my fucking... I get angry about stuff, guys. I really do. Stuff like this stuff with us losing soldiers who never even get to get into a real battle, who never get to really protect America from the people who want to bring us down. They're stuck on battlefield training, and we can't even keep them equipment clean. We can't even keep the equipment up to date. And we're the greatest nation on the history of the earth that's ever existed, and we can't fix a mortar? That's pretty fucking sad, don't you think? We need to ask more critical questions. Like critical thought theory, we need to start asking, hey, where's that $750 hammer we're looking for? We've been looking for 20 years. Where the fuck is that shit? You could have went to Home Depot. I mean, that shit's like $40. Easy.
Oh yeah. You have to like really try to spend that much money on a hammer.
Bro, you know what that means? I mean, you don't have to be an accounting major to figure out that a $750 hammer and a $1,400 fucking screwdriver equates to money is being driven out of that and put into something else, which they will never tell you about. Whether it be UFOs, whether it be new drones, whether it be fucking robots, I don't fucking know. But there's no fucking way we've been buying drills and hammers at fucking Home Depot for $40 and getting that three set for $150. And these motherfuckers don't know anything about that for the last 20 years. This just doesn't make sense. So, but fiction versus fact, everybody. The fiction here is this was a freak accident, completely unavoidable. But the fact, the command investigation proved this tragedy was preventable. It had proper procedures if they had proper procedures that were followed, 7 lives might have been spared. It's just ridiculous. And then the fiction on this, guys, equipment failure was to blame. No, it wasn't. The fact is that the equipment was found to be functional. The root cause was human error compounded by lapses in supervision and just poor procedures. I mean, and Gigi, you said you were there or you knew about it in that era when you were a Marine. And that's what everyone knows, what I just said. You're saying that there's just something else afoot. Something else must have happened, right?
No, I'm not saying something else had to happen. they blamed the Marines instead of themselves.
Okay.
And yeah, that's just what happened. They said the Marines loaded 2 rounds into the tube and it blew up. That's not what happened. The mortar exploded because, as you said, people checked the mortar tube. They said it was okay, cool, put it out there, dropped rounds in it, and couldn't handle the pressure, and it popped.
Yeah, it's just like science. Nobody did the science. I don't understand. It's so crazy. We pay so much money for this stuff, guys, that it's just a sad conclusion to, I mean, we lost 7 guys, 7 men and maybe women in this explosion.
No, it was seven men.
Just 7 men. Okay, thank you for the clarification. 7 men in this explosion.
And if I'm not mistaken, one other doc was like brutally... I don't want to talk about that. There was another injured.
There were a few injuries.
He survived.
I mean, even when you get injured like that, that's just, I mean, what do you do with your life? Your life is pretty much, I'm not saying that he can't come back from this. There's a lot of therapies out there, all these kinds of things. But guys, that's a mortar accident. That's a bomb. That's crazy to me. That's just insane. And well, I will say this, guys. And I'm kind of flabbergasted by it because this isn't something 400 tragedies like this in training over the course of, you know, what, 10 years? That's fucking crazy. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, and we're the United States of fucking America. Like, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But with that being said, Gigi, what do you think that the military can do going forward to kind of cut this gut of stupidity where we can send our young men and women to be trained properly and not feel they're going to die in training?
I mean, ultimately, training is dangerous. It's, you know, replicating a very dangerous aspect of humanity, which is war. So there's always going to be risk involved. What you can do to mitigate it is take the proper logistics and accommodate for the proper time that it would take to properly do these kind of training operations and as inspect the actual mortar tubes. From what I heard, there was no inspection on the tubes.
That's crazy.
And that's coming from people that I've known that were in Alpha Company.
Okay.
You know, so.
So nobody even checked it.
They just sent it.
Yeah.
Took it off the mountain and sent it.
And we all, everyone, okay, so this is the thing. And like, if you live in a cold area and your front window is cold, would you dash water on it to cool it back down? No, because you're going to fucking pop your window. And I don't even live in a cold area, and I know that. And I finished high school, did a little college, but shit, that's just common fucking sense. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, cold air and hot air, you know, stretches and shrinks, whether it be metals, glass, whatever. It does it to everything. And everybody, I thought, knew that. Especially commanding officers. It just drives me crazy. It's so stupid. It's just the dumbest shit I've ever heard, you know? And these poor guys they're not even on the planet anymore or exist because of someone's stupid error. That's just what bothers me and pisses me the fuck off.
What pisses me off is the commanding officer basically, again, blamed the Marines. He was pushing so hard to do this insane training regiment so he can get some kind of medal for being... Yeah, that's it. That's all it was. That's all he was doing it for. He just wanted a pat on the back and recognition.
And a stripe and a little button, a little ribbon. You know, it's ridiculous, man. It fucking pisses me off. But we're going to go the higher point on this, guys. And I don't want to dwell on stuff, but, you know, I care deeply about the military. I love Marines. I love Air Force. I mean, I was going to do all that, but I just didn't go forward with it back in the day when I was younger. So seeing stuff like this just really irritates the fuck out of me because I know America loves their soldiers, their troops, their veterans. I mean, we do more for our soldiers, troops, and veterans than anybody on the planet. I mean, whether it be housing, education, the GI Bill, dollar down, I mean, you name it. So when stuff like this that's really stupid can be avoided, I like to everybody just to be like, hey, just fucking do your job. Stop grandstanding and trying to get some accolades for shit you didn't even do. Just do your job, right? So, but the Hawthorne Blast reminds us that in the pursuit of military readiness, we must prioritize human lives. Protocols must evolve as technology advances, and leadership must be held accountable to ensure tragedies like this one, don't ever happen again. The cost of complacency is far too high, okay? So, I'll let you say the last words on this, Gigi, and then I'll wrap it up. But, you know, I'm Fitzpire hot and mad, man. I want to write a congressman at this point. But tell me what your conclusion to this is, Gigi.
I mean, it just kind of shows you that at the end of the day, and this is the reason I wanted to kind of tell a story, is can't always trust what the government's telling you. It doesn't matter who's in charge. They only care about the one person, and that's them. Mm-hmm. They don't care about anybody else, and it was evident in that whole training operation. There's more to it that, like, I remember that other record, by the way.
Do you?
So, that other record that we broke while we were out there was we had the first Marine to ever abandon training while up in the mountains and make it back to the lower base camp alive.
Wow. Why'd he abandon? Do you know why he did it?
Yeah, I talked to him. He was actually a good friend of mine. He was basically being hazed, and he was like, the night before he passed out because of, like, I think it was some kind of nutrition thing, or I can't remember exactly what happened, blood sugar or something, but he passed out. And the next day we hiked for like 14 hours and then he went missing. People thought that he'd like just somewhere passed out again, and he was just laying there in the cold, freezing to death. So we actually searched for him for like hours and hours and hours, and then we finally found him. He actually made it back to camp. So apparently he had dropped.
Keep yourself alive, man.
Yeah, he dropped what we were using, like his little squad's kit for like boiling water and stuff like that. He dropped it and lost it. And his like squad leader or team leader, whoever it was, blasted him, sent him off in the middle of the night to go find it. He got lost, started to panic, and then he said, pretty much said he blacked out at that point, and he was just going off instinct. He said he used the moon to find the lower base camp, and he found it.
That's crazy. Well, good for him, man. I mean, I don't care. I mean, we're all taught at a young age, respect your elders, you know, respect visions of authority or higher people of authority. No, if you see something stupid or wrong, say something, speak up, because everybody doesn't have your back. Most people have their own backs, and at that, they don't do a really good job at it, you know? So our conclusion today, guys, and thank you, Gigi, for your story. Our condolences to your friend. As we close this segment, let's honor the 7 Marines who lost their lives and the 8 others whose lives were forever changed. Training saves lives, but only when it's done right. Let's carry this lesson forward to the battlefield, to the boardroom, and to our everyday lives. Stay tuned as we transition to our next topic, with Gigi Luigi sticking around, to dive into the complexities of modern warfare and why lessons like Hawthorne are essential for the future. So don't miss that. And I'm not sure most of our audience knows this, Gigi, but the former president of the United States of America, Mr. James Earl Carter Jr., has passed away at the age of 100. So we'd like to give condolences to him and his family for leading our nation. Thank you, guys. Take care of our veterans by any means necessary, and the people that are going into the military, watch over them. It's been a pleasure telling you this story, because I want to get, Gigi and I want to get this out there to you, that if you see something wrong, speak up. Don't just let people tell you what to do, even if it's in the military. I've been Mr. Villain for Gigi Luigi. This has been Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, and God bless America. Hey guys, if you're still listening, this part of the show is called Bloopers, Outtakes, and Blunders. It's the behind the scenes of the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. Stuff you don't always hear. Stuff that didn't make it into the show. Stuff that's on the cutting room edge of our floors. Or you just hear us bantering about, talking about useless things that just didn't make the podcast showroom. But for the sake of argument, we just want you to be a part of our little family here. So this is where I'm going to put all those kinds of things at. Right after the podcast, for just a couple of seconds, you'll hear just stuff that doesn't make any sense. It's not the most glamorous moments, but you'll get to see us trip over our words, crack up mid-sentence, and sometimes just stare at the mic, like we always do when we don't know where we're supposed to be or where our cues are. But anyway, take it for what it is. Have fun with it. We don't mind. Come on into our back room where we hide our blunders, our bloopers, and our edits. So enjoy the show, and we appreciate you guys. Have fun with it. How's your day?
Meh. It was all right. Not too bad.
Well, what happened? Other than that?
Nothing much. Really?
I'm eating olives.
Nice.
What's this, Sunday? God damn. It's got fit.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Mm-hmm. What time did you get off work?
I got home like about an hour ago.
Okay. Did you eat some food and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I'm like munching on dinner now.
Okay. All right. You just want to jump into it, and you know.
Yeah.
Sounds sad, friend. I don't know why it's bugging me. I don't know what's going on.
No, I'm just being a troll. How was your day, buddy?
Let me get this right. All right, I just gotta put this on the screen.
Alrighty.
Mm-hmm. So what we're gonna start off with, we'll go through. Let me see. I want to tap this real quick. I don't need to do the MUA. Oh, that's a. What is this description? I'm in the wrong one. Okay. I guess we can just go right off of the hot mic. Okay. All right. Let me get myself together. Okay. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain, and it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Stories unfold.